Attention musicians, would you like to hear your music on vinyl, even if it was just one copy? Well, you can do it. Austin Signal can help you. Austin Signal is a high-quality recording studio and vinyl cutting facility located 15 minutes outside of Austin. In addition to traditional modern recording services, the studio also specializes in some very unique offerings, including short-run vinyl production, single mic recording, and direct-to-disc recording. Just go to austinsignal.com, click on How Did I Get Here in their menu, or follow the link in the text of this podcast. Then enter the promo code HDIGH for 10% off vinyl cutting. That's right, 10% off vinyl cutting with promo code HDIGH. Today's featured vinyl cut from Austin Signal is from Austin artist and How Did I Get Here favorite, Daisy O'Connor. From her album Ether, this is the song Crazy. Let's get down. Hey gang, it's Johnny. I'm your host. As you can tell, I'm sick. In this conversation that I have that you'll hear, I talk about needing to take a nap, and I did that on Monday. I took that nap, and when I woke up, my throat was really itchy. And when I woke up on Tuesday morning, it was like on fire. So I thought I had strep throat. I went over to the urgent care place down the street, had them, they swabbed the throat, they checked it out, and it's not strep, it is acute pharyngitis caused by a viral upper respiratory infection that I have. So I couldn't take antibiotics for it, and my voice is just fucked. I'm supposed to play Saturday night with my band at 1-to-1 Bar, and I'm recording this on Thursday, and I'm just going to see how I feel when I wake up the day that this comes out. So if you are coming to see me play, you can go to the How Did I Get Here Facebook page. By the afternoon, I'll post whether or not the show's going on tomorrow night, Saturday, November 2nd at 1-to-1 Bar from 7:30 to 8:30. I hope I can do it. I really do want to play. I took the weekend off from Skyrocket. And of course, after I took the weekend off and got a sub, they got a gig that pays a lot of money. So, you know, that's how it goes, baby. I want to at least play with my band. Anyway, I have a great show for you guys today. Jeff Azar from Demi the Daredevil is back on the show. They have a brand new EP out right now called Magic and Accidents. You can find them at DemiTheDaredevil.com. They have an amazing video for a song called Not Having a Blast. A fantastic video. Anyway, I met Jeff a couple of years ago at Austin Music Foundation. He came in for a consultation, and we had a great conversation. I really fell in love with his music then. He had an album out called Secret Schizoid. You should check that out. Came out a couple of years ago. And I invited him on the show. So this is Jeff's second time on the show. We have a great conversation about making Magic and Accidents and kind of the change in the music. He's gone more electronic, more, he was always kind of poppy and quirky poppy. But this is a little bit more electronic driven, drum machine-y, keyboards, synthesizers, things going on. Jeff's a great guy. I really, really enjoy talking to him. He's an interesting cat, very smart, very, very musical, an amazing songwriter. So please enjoy my conversation with my pal, Jeff Azar from Demi the Daredevil. All right? And I hope you guys all have a great weekend, whatever it is you're doing. And before we get into this conversation, just remember,
we trust no one. You're fine. Get over what you cry for. Program cleverness recorded with quick stimulus. React automatic. I just can't function no more. Cause I'm low. Go, go, go to pace. Go right on cue. Raise your slow.
changed your stuff up a bit with this new EP, huh?
I guess so. Yeah. How would you? Do you think it went more electronic than the past?
I think so. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
And it has a pop vibe, but you're still. I remember distinctly. There's a lot that has to deal with mental health in the music.
Yes.
And I have to say that not having a blast, that video.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, it's great, man. Who did that?
It's this guy, Jackson Alexander, and he, I think it was Taking Mesa. Sorry if I'm getting that wrong, Jackson, but he, I knew him from high school, or at least my mom introduced me to him before I had hung out with him in high school, but he was in the videography crew there, and so I've kept in touch with him. And he the last video he did was the Art of Relax video,
right? Which was another great video.
Yeah, yeah. So he did those too.
Yeah. So so you did a release show for this?
Actually,
EP?
No. It got rescheduled because it was kind of I felt it in my gut that it wasn't fully prepared. I mean, like there was a promotion company, Culture Capital and Trickfinger, and it had sponsors and. The production was all set, but then in terms of promotion, it was like we had like a week. So it was us and Shadow of Wales kind of like, you know, scurrying around. And I don't know if that was enough time. Like, I feel like I would want to take a while to promote it to make it worth everyone's while anymore. So it's rescheduled, but everything's still prepped for when we're ready.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And who's Sloan?
Storm.
Sorry.
Oh yeah,
sorry.
Storm.
Sorry, man. I'm not. Oh, no. I'm telling you, I'm tired. We already
totally
covered
fine.
That, right?
Yeah.
All right. I'm
you
not.
Meet,
all
you meet a lot. I, by the way, I'm really. It's crazy that this is podcast number 830 something.
No, 8. It's going to be 850 something.
850 something. That's amazing. I mean, yeah. I bring that. That's awesome. For one, I bring that up because you've talked with so many people. So I imagine it's like you've 1,000 names.
Yeah. Now, would I remember our conversation?
Oh, okay, yeah.
Last time, because it got real heavy.
Yeah, yeah.
You're
the
not
last
a,
time I was on the podcast.
Yeah, yeah. You're not a surface guy, man. You're a depth
right,
guy, man of depth.
Yeah,
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I appreciate your accurate, like your mirroring. You're good at kind of just pinpointing things about people. That's cool.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
You're a good guy. I mean, I like talking to you. I met you at Austin Music Foundation, right?
That's right. Yeah.
In a consultation.
Yeah, it was a consultation. That's right. And you're the mediator for all the panels, and
yeah,
that's awesome.
The moderator.
Moderator.
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess mediator as well.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Mediator would. That sounds like you're having to
They're
be the
fighting.
Diplomat between.
Yeah.
Fights.
Yeah. 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 All right. So what happened between Secret Schizoid and Magic and Accidents?
What happened in between that period?
Yeah, what, because you change, it looks like there's not so much of a band anymore. It looks like it's you and another guy.
That's right, yeah.
You've changed a lot of stuff. You changed the sound, you went more electronic.
Let's see, yeah, it's been, I'm thinking the last time I came on the show, we just finished the first album, or it was an EP, which turned into an album, adding singles on, and I was playing with my old guitarist, so it was just two members at that point. And it, yeah, I start off as a drummer at the beginning, and then it kind of just, you know, I it was a certain point where I was like, I have to go solo to kind of just do what I want to do and connect with the people I want to connect with who I know will like this particular thing I'm doing. So yes, from the EP, I just made singles and was mostly going solo, brought a drummer on for this album. But yeah, this, you know, I kind of like it's going to be a kind of a one man thing. I think it'll always might be that way, just because I've done it like that for so long that it feels just the most natural to do it that way. Mm-hmm. So yeah, but that there's that, and I ran into Storm Levy, who's I was walking her dogs, and she was started Trickfinger, a small label in Austin, and she's a publicist with that background and kind of is good at a lot of things that I'm not good at. So it was good connecting with her, and met Sean O'Keefe, someone who produced a lot of the albums that I loved in high school a lot. So it was cool to be in a room with him and kind of be like, oh, wow.
What albums?
He did Take This to Your Grave. I don't know if that's the exact title for Fall Out Boy's.
That's who produced this record?
Yeah, yeah.
Shit, man, that's great, dude.
Yeah, it was
awesome. Fall Out Boy?
Fall Out Boy, Hawthorne Heights, Hush Sound, Less Than Jake, And yeah, it was a lot of albums that we were as a band, as a garage band, we were always jamming to them, and it was cool hearing his backstories and cool having him kind of believe in this project as being like to that caliber of those bands. So that was probably like, yeah, one of the coolest experiences of this particular EP.
You feel like it gave you some confidence going into it? Like going into making this record?
Having someone in the corner? Yeah.
Where'd you guys make it?
Yeah. It was, so a lot of the stuff, and I don't know if this goes against certain opinions on how records should be produced, but a lot of it was just kind of MIDI in my, you know, house or apartment. And so I just went in with like, you know, 80% done, I would say. And he has this studio that he just moved into, a home studio in San Antonio. So he kind of just bumped up, like everything was mostly recorded, but he was kind of just like saying like, this doesn't work for me right here, and this doesn't work, and like, let's kind of take this to the next level.
But you did a lot of the recording of it.
Yeah.
Shit, man, that's great.
Yeah, that's good. It's like, it's hard for producers and mixers to receive all these files that, like, with people who don't have background in going to school for Pro Tools, and just, you know, it's not all done correctly. It's kind of makeshift. So it's good and bad. It's like way cheaper, but then I guess it's a hassle for them if you don't do it fully properly.
Yeah. I just read this article about Billie Eilish and kind of her thing that happened. And she did, like, she became famous because she wrote some song that her dance teacher at her school was like, hey, we wrote a song for this performance. And she was like, sure. She put it on SoundCloud. It got like a billion.
Oh, I didn't know that was what.
Billion downloads or whatever. And she got signed by a label. And then those guys were like, all right. So she recorded that with her brother. In their bedroom.
Yeah.
And they put her with all these songwriter guys and all these producer guys. And she's like, hey, man, these guys are trying to change my whole trip. Like, if you like that song and you sign me, why don't you let me go make this record with me and my brother? You know, which they have a thing. And they made that record. I mean, that record that's, you know, I guess not selling, but streaming millions.
Yeah.
And turning people on. Yeah, did you make physical copies of this?
Yeah.
You did?
I should have I should have brought an extra one.
What do you think? What do you think is the plus of making a physical copy of an album in 2019? And I'm not being an asshole. Just literally asking you a question.
No, I think it's for like collectors. Like that's what I was. Like I liked getting CDs and kind of like lining them up in my room and kind of being like, you know, this is.
Do you sell them? I mean, do people buy them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people
still buy. Where do you sell them? On your website? Oh, yeah, on your website you can buy.
Mm-hmm.
You got a good website.
Thanks.
Yeah, you got good art and good art sensibilities. And that video guy, what was his name again?
Jackson.
Mm-hmm. That guy's great, man.
Yeah, he's good.
People should check this out, man. The video, Not Having a Blast, you can find it at demithedaredevil.com.
Yeah.
And it's, tell me about what went into making that video.
Let's see. It was like over a course of maybe 3 meetups, and one of them was like a performance day /
I like that.
Yeah, that ending aspect.
How did he do like the weird balloon face?
Oh, see, yeah, that was
that was. Then the balloon makes faces.
Yeah, yeah, we lucked out with that because he works. I forgot what his production company that he works for in Austin is called, but. You know, there was an employee friend that was with him that did all the CGI for like commercials and stuff. And so he's good at what he did, and he wanted to challenge himself. So it was nice to have someone that had that motive, and it was for free, you know, so he did that effect.
So can I ask you some questions as a fanboy?
Yeah.
Okay. So how did he get rid of the head of the person and put the balloon there?
Yeah, it's crazy. I still don't fully understand it, but I know, I know that he, like, part of it was
television,
like
television magic.
Yeah. I was wearing like this, kind of like, Mexican wrestling mask, like a red mask. It wasn't a balloon during that shot, and so like they just made sure to not get my neck at all, and so the whole thing was filmed wearing that mask. And then they did another shot where it just had like my t-shirt on a hanger with that mask.
Oh, okay.
And they were just waving it around, so I don't know how he layered them on top of each other and made it work.
It's cool, man.
Yeah
People watching it.
Yeah.
Didn't look to see how many people were watching.
No. Oh, this thing? No, the video.
Yeah.
It's got good. There's there's people that have been around since the last time we talked, and there's new people that have, you know, the Discover Weekly playlist, algorithmic playlist on Spotify. I got on that, so it's found,
oh, that's
it found new
great
people.
To know, man.
Yeah, yeah. So it's nice to know that you don't need a connection of like a curator putting it on a playlist. Now they can go by like, okay, this type of person is saving this type of song a lot, and let's show them other songs that are like that. So it's like a amazing service, I think, that they give artists. So
is Storm your manager?
She, I don't know if she
it's Storm with an E, right?
Yeah, it has okay. an E, so Stormy. Oh, so
I thought it was Stormy.
Yeah, so Stormy, I didn't even know that till recently. I've just
so
called her Storm.
Stormy?
It's Stormy, Storm for short, without the E.
Okay.
And yeah, I guess she calls herself my publicist, but it seems like she, yeah, so she doesn't
want. She calls herself, did I talk to her on the phone?
Yeah, I think
okay,
so.
Okay, a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
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 On my way to a place.
That's right. You're on the road.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Now I know who I'm talking to. Okay. She's nice.
She's nice.
And she manages you?
I think she wants to like shy away from the whole like personal manager, like dealing with people's BS, but she definitely is like, I feel like her strongest point is like she gets people to actually listen. So like Austin Music Foundation, I was trying to get the Artist of the Month for a good while, I feel like, and then she reached out to him and like made it happen. So she does stuff like that where I'm like, I don't know, they don't listen to me, but they listen to you. So let's just keep on whatever you say. That's great.
Well, were you trying to get Artist of the Month when you didn't have the album coming out?
Maybe.
And then she came up and said, hey, we got an album coming out. Well, that's the thing. You got to have a thing
okay.
happening.
Okay.
There has to be like some kind of thing.
There has to be something aligned with it.
Yeah. Usually like a video or a song or a album. I know
okay.
that much.
Okay.
And then they reach out to me and they say, hey, Johnny, this guy's an artist of the month. You
okay.
know who this is. And I'm like, of course, he's been on the show.
Yeah.
He's my bro.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a really awesome thing that you let me on my, on your show, you know, 3 years ago.
I wanted you on my show. I didn't let you on my show. I wanted you on my show. I invited
that's
you
just
on my show when we did the consultation.
Yeah, that's right.
I was
right.
like, man, you're cool. Come on to the thing. Let's talk.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, don't make me seem like I'm weird.
Don't make me seem like I'm just a self-deprecating for
you're a doing a great job of it yourself.
I know. That's it's a weakness.
So Jeff, man, how do you play live now? You and that drummer guy? Because that's what's in that video.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so what do you play? Tracks?
Yeah, we got tracks. It's more normalized. You can be considered a band now with backing tracks. I feel like there's people
yeah,
who make
it's not,
it happen.
Yeah, it's not. You don't get beat up anymore outside of the club.
Yeah,
for faking it.
Yeah,
but you're not faking it. It's another form of performance. And at
yeah.
this point, it's so expensive to have a band, dude.
Yeah,
like I have a show coming up this Saturday, and I have backup singers sometimes and stuff. But it's like a 1 hour set. The tickets are $10. I'm like, you know what, man? I don't know if I can afford.
Oh, for your
to
own
pay
personal
the band.
Project. Yeah.
Like, so I got to nix the backup singers for this because
yeah,
it's expensive.
So maybe backtracks. That's the next thing is to have vocals on the backtracks.
I can't play to a thing on
okay,
stage.
Okay.
I have too hard of a time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you just work with a guy who's just like, oh, yeah, I know how to do that.
Well, I can
stuff.
Tell the other guys to try and sing, but it's not like it's Jane Ellen Bryant and like MC Glazer from Shy Beast and Sarah Dossey. Like, they're all great singers.
Oh, are they part of your. It's like a
part
like
of my live
super group.
Part of my live band. Yeah.
That's
I
awesome.
Never thought of it as a super group. I got super
well, I've heard
singers.
Of those people. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Einar yeah. is the bass player. You know Einar?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Awesome.
He's a super group in himself.
Yeah. I still have not seen, I haven't, I don't think I've seen you play live. I haven't seen him play live, but I know he's doing stuff with the Fray still.
It's pretty epic.
Yeah.
He's a pretty epic performer.
Okay.
So you do it live with the dude, and so what's on the track? So you got a click, obviously,
mm-hmm.
bass. What are you playing live?
Click
guitar?
Bass. No, it's just me and the keys, and I'm doing everything on the keys. And for a while, I was doing the one man show thing where I did half of the tracks had no drums, and I was standing up and playing the drums while singing, and have the keys on the back tracks. Switch.
That must have been cool.
That was pretty cool. I couldn't quite pull it off with this type of music. I was kind of taken by that artist Mobley, and it didn't work for me.
Yeah.
No.
I had a good thing with Mobley.
Yeah.
I had a good...
A talk?
Yeah.
Cool.
At a thing at like Austin Music Foundation or something. Not at a... Native Hostel or something. That guy's really talented.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know.
I look up to him too. I also am jealous of him.
Yeah. Yeah, seeing the show, I'm like, man, he just put so much time into it. Makes me question this approach, but yeah. So yeah, it's usually keys. No, not keys. Now it's just no keys. There's just bass, electronic percussion, and you know, strings or horns or whatever instrumentation. Sure. But yeah, it's not as heavy now that with the drummer that's beefs it up.
Yeah, it's cool. It kicks ass a little bit more live, and you can engage with the audience a little more.
Yep.
You think?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, playing drums, I guess, and trying to be the lead singer and being the whole thing, it's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot.
And it's not, you shouldn't down yourself because Mobley can do it and you can't. That's just fucking hard. Like, yeah. I've been doing this forever.
Yeah.
And I can't do what Mobley does.
And his is like more R&B, kind of like house, I feel like. It's not like in your face, like it's not as much punk and rock, alternative.
Right. Is that what you look at what you do as? What mm-hmm. do you call it, like?
I think so. Like, it's punk roots, and then that evolved into emo punk. I'm just looking at, in my perspective, the history of it.
Sure.
And then became, you know, melded with alternative rock and electronic music. And so I feel like the culture is punk, but, and so the live show is partly that, like, where I'm just kind of like, it's a little more raw and like a lot of motion.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure you do too. You're a rock band, you consider?
Rock guy, yeah. I think so. Yeah, I'm a rock guy. It sounds really dumb now, doesn't it? Be like, oh, I'm a rock guy. Oh, so you just have a band? Yeah. You know what I mean? There's so many people doing tracks and doing interesting things on stage that aren't just four dudes trying to get sweaty. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what? I came up as a, like, you know, that's 1983, that photograph. On the wall. I'm showing him a photograph from my first gig in 1983 at Kayla's house.
You're still a good-looking dude. Still retain your youth.
Thanks.
That's awesome.
I think that's in between songs. I've got something to say to the crowd. Hey guys, listen, I'm 14.
Oh my God, really?
My mom's here at the party. Damn. She's wearing Kanye glasses.
Okay.
Decades before Kanye wore them.
Your mom feels like she looks like she would support your entertainment lifestyle.
it also just totally looks like it's 1983 on both of our bodies, doesn't it? Like, yeah. The clothes and everything. I'm wearing like a sleeveless shirt and a vest.
The vest. Oh yeah.
I had to show off those guns, man. When you're 14, you're cleaning it up.
Yeah.
What?
All right. I see you're the farmer's tan a little bit. Is there? I know.
So I mean, I guess I consider myself a rock guy because I came up in that thing, and I have done shows with tracks in Skyrocket. There's a couple of things that we do that we play to something, but we play to a loop of like a percussion. Do you know the song Heart of Glass by Blondie? You know,
favorite
the loop
Blondie
that
song.
Goes underneath it.
Yeah
we play to that the whole song.
Wow.
Which means we have to change some stuff up, because on their version, that thing goes to 7 for a couple of measures and then goes to 8. But we have we have to do all measures of 7 to make it all go back to
like measure-wise.
1 again.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
It turned into this giant math problem. We were going to play to the click. We had to resolve it rhythmically.
That's one of those little details that I feel like a lot of bands would gloss over, and they wouldn't include that because it's work, but that's like a really key part.
You should come see Skyrocket. You'd be impressed. It's a cover band, but there's detail.
That's why it's kind of, I tried doing the cover thing too. It's like a competitive beast in itself to like do that. And to, because it's like, if you want to be a really good professional cover band, you got to like really bump, really be at a high level for them to kind of trust you with bigger gigs, I guess. Right.
Yeah. And you know, man, in our case, it was born out of fun and hanging together. There was no idea of becoming a cover band. It was like, hey, we're all bros. Let's go play these songs at Hole in the Wall, like these 570s songs for free. And then I saw these guys. I'm like, hey, guys, I've got this Rhodes, and all the songs you play are like 70s songs with Rhodes on it. I'll come and play. He was like, oh, sure, man. So then I went and played, and then we got offered this gig where they're like, oh, here's a few grand, you know, can you do this? And we're like, whoa, maybe we can.
Yeah.
And then we got a girl in the band so that we could do any song. And then, like, when we all got paid after that show, she was like, man, no one's giving me this kind of money when I go play my gigs. You guys want to do some more of this?
Yeah.
And we were like, yeah, and it ended up happening. And I guess it is competitive, but we came in really early. I just kind of like with the podcast. Like, I came in early enough where I don't really feel – I cannot – like, I would say 3 to 4 of every 10 of my friends has a podcast now.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I started so early, I don't really feel very like, oh no, they're coming after me. It's like, you know what? I got my space. I know what I'm
doing. Like, yeah. you've already established yourself.
And I think with our cover band, there's 7 of us.
Yeah.
You know, we got a couple keyboards up there. We need 4 guitars. We got it. We need 2 keyboards. We got it. It's all, you know. And there's a guy in there that really can hear music. How do you hear music? Do you hear like, can you pick out harmonies? When you hear a band singing a harmony, can you go like, okay, and break it down and show me every note that they're singing?
Oh, that's a tricky thing. It
seems
thing.
Like you can.
Yeah.
You seem very musical like that. I can't do that.
You're more like music.
I'm just hanging out, man.
Do you figure it out? Sheet music? Or like, how do you... Or that's just not your job.
There's
in the band.
There's a guy in the band that figures it out for
okay.
me.
Okay. Oh, that's smart. You guys, anyone, there's a lot of people who are artists that are, they're fans, and they, if you guys joining bands, like you don't have to have all the strengths yourself. You can kind of like, you know, that's very important.
That's the power of a band.
Yeah.
This band has incredible power. Everybody has a very unique strength, and it's very unique to find 7 people that really get along. That each one has this thing they do,
yeah,
that makes the whole thing be a thing.
That's why it's so. I feel like that's one thing that I learned is to not always forever hold off on your life, like to find that, because it's hard to find that. Like, it's hard to find what you're saying. Like, everyone is getting along, they all mesh well, but they're all bringing something different to the table, and it's not like clashing things.
There's a bunch of different singers. Like, whoever's voice suits the song is who sings it.
Yeah,
like,
okay.
There's not like a guy like, I'm what?
I'm the singer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's no thing like that.
No.
So that's good.
That's solid.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
That's rare.
And it is rare.
But it's possible.
It is rare.
It's proof that, right? And you found.
Yeah, but I mean, there's a guy like you. When you tried to do the cover thing, what'd you do? Would you play like.
It's all backtracked. I have about 2.5 hours of just kind of. Different my own takes on these hits, and so I, you know, I've gotten some gigs,
cool,
some good gigs
too.
And some, yeah, it's like a halfway acoustic, so it works, but then it's the next step of like, how many gigs are you getting from like sending out X amount of emails, or how hard is it, you know, because I was literally walking around 6th Street and walking around to all these bars trying to talk with people, and it's like, yeah,
those gigs suck.
Yeah,
ass.
They suck.
I don't think that those gigs are like anybody, like if you need to be on stage and get your time in, you know, get the hours in, the reps of playing on a stage,
then that's your spot.
Go ahead and do it. But if you've already gone through that, that's just a soulless.
Yeah.
I mean, the one thing about it is that I think that if, I mean, you're smart. You know, there's 7 of us. We have like a video person, a roadie, and a sound person, and there's a booking agent. So there's like 11 people
on top of
living off of this thing, you know? Where like if we were like Spasmatics, where those guys are 4 guys.
It's 4.
And they have tracks to cover the other shit, then they can come in with a lower cost than we can.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Walk away with more if they can
pull it off. And if you're a 1-guy thing and you're able to book it, you don't even really need to ask for that much money. I mean, except for the fact that you'd need like sound and shit like that if you had to do like a hotel or something like that. But
yeah.
You could hire a sound company to do it and budget it in. Why am I telling you to go start? You're doing great. I like Demi the Daredevil. Do you have a day job?
I do. Yeah. I have a lot of like, I've. Random streams, so like I do a little sound at a church or watch someone's dog every other week, or but my main stability is marketing. Like I market for RV resorts, like a company that owns those,
that's cool.
I try to get them bookings, yeah, so I that's the best thing probably, and then there's money that comes from streams now. If you can get on a playlist, then it comes in, and like we're talking about the physical sales, there's some support there, but it's definitely, I mean, I'm sure you've had your experience on how hard it is to get the momentum to do that.
I've never been like a huge selling artist.
Do you feel like part of that is because certain people with not the greatest music, they're able to sell and they're good at selling, you know, that's their strength. But do you find yourself to be, you're not that kind of guy?
No, it's not even that. I would say that there have been, you know, so many things need to align to make something go. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Song has to be good. You have to be good. The recording has to be good. The vocal has to be good. The person that takes it to the person that, you know what I mean? It's just so many parts have to happen. And then it has to be the right timing. So I think there have been times when I've had the wrong timing. I think there have been times when I've had the right song, but it's been my own lo-fi record that I decided to put out myself, like or put out like that, you know, through a label. And then I could have probably gotten radio play on a couple of songs that just weren't sonically up to snuff with the rest of the stuff because I was doing this lo-fi trip. And then, you know,
it's such a balancing act.
Yeah,
it's
like, and then I had a hi-fi thing, and I had a label that put it out, and they had all this money.
Oh,
and
that's
then,
right. You were part of Elektra or something? Elektra,
yeah, but this is even after that. This is like 10 years ago. And then this record that came out in 2009, and it was on this label here called Sea Change, and those guys had all this money. And I had like strings and horns and just like whatever, unlimited. Until the record came out, all their money was in the stock market. And when the crash came in the fall of 2009 or 2008, when my record came out in winter of 2009, like there was one guy that worked there.
Oh
and
my
so
god!
It all just kind of like
so no promotion.
I went and did like
what?
An in store in Dallas, and someone was walking around going like, "Hey man, I don't see your records anywhere." And so I went up to the front. And I'm like, "Hey, is there a special display or something?" And they're like, "No, your label never sent them." It was like,
"Oh my god, that's
shit.
A terrible way
like
to find
stuff
out."
Like that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, yep.
So I mean, and I don't blame all this. I mean, all those things just that it takes a lot to make something go. And as the older I get, the more I realize, like, you know what? I've gotten acceptance from my peers. Incredible.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
it's true.
You know, songwriters.
I'm at that point where I can look back at myself 3 years ago, 4 years ago and being like, there's nobody that recognizes what I'm doing. I need some kind of validation or just someone besides your family and friends to be like, yeah, it's all right. You know, but finding people.
Well, getting on
like
that Spotify playlist. I mean, there's people that are spending tons of money to try and get that. Did you spend money to get on there?
There's a little Instagram ads to drive traffic there. But yeah, a lot of that's the.
But you didn't hire a person and give them like.
No,
$1,800 a month to try and get you on a Spotify playlist.
Yeah, that's the great thing about those algorithmic things.
But that's proof. That means that your stuff is good.
Yeah, and that's almost like that. Going back to what you said, like get recognition recognition, validation from your peers or from fans or from whoever. That's almost like what it's all about. That's most of it for me. I feel like that's what gets you. That's why you're fulfilled. You create something and you share it and you want to connect with people. And if you see it's connecting, then it's almost like a huge like gap in your life could be filled that way. I don't know. So I feel like that's almost enough. There's more that we could always do, but you know, it's not like, I don't know if that sounds like resonating or resigning, but it's like, you know, that's where a lot of the fulfillment comes. So
yeah, man. So what was the playlist that you got on? Discover Weekly?
Discover Weekly.
Shit.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good for...
How many plays did you get? Look at it.
America Anonymous, that's 179,000, I think. And Not Having a Blast, that one that came out, that one got on it. And so it's like at 20,000. So that makes more possible. Yeah, that makes it more possible. Because it's free marketing. So it's like...
Well, I think the main thing that to take away from that is that you make great music and you're a great songwriter and you made a great record and you got to work with someone that you look up to that took your music to another level.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true. That's the one thing...
Became Austin Music Foundation Artist of the Month.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I'm not laughing at that. I'm just saying like that's another thing, you know?
Yeah. No, that, and it's like, I remember Ian, when I talked with Ian R, he kind of is all about the live show and being in control of that. And I feel like that about the songwriting, like what you're telling me makes me think, you know, that is the focus. is well, all you're in control.
Well, it's still important
is...
to have your live show too, you know. I mean, I think I'm very huge. You got to go out there and do it. Like, do you know that band, The Ghost Wolves?
I've heard. Were they just on your show?
Uh-huh.
I think I saw. Okay. Yeah. I never heard of them, but that's where I saw their name.
Man, they just did a thing. Like, Third Man put out a record, that Jack White label.
Yeah.
And they put out a record of theirs, and they got all these songs on TV shows. And when you ask them how they got it all, it's all that people saw them playing a show.
Oh, okay.
You know? And it's like one of those things. They go to Europe now, and they tour over there.
Yeah.
Guy saw them playing a show.
A guy. Know? Like, someone that helped...
Yeah, somebody that had something to do with HBO shows.
Oh,
music
sync.
Was at one of their shows.
Yeah,
you know, somebody from Third Man was at one of their shows.
Yeah,
was like, hey, you should check out this band. They fucking got signed and did a record with them.
Yeah,
so it is important to have live shows because to me that's the thing. That's also to me where you can get paid. And with you with this new smaller thing. Going out with two guys and doing shows like that,
mm-hmm.
you can afford to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can put on a show that's real cool.
It's true.
I'm screaming at you.
No, there's a lot of like it personally. Why I'm realizing like there's some kind of block in me in terms of live shows. I think because there's my past experience, I need to let it go.
Yeah, you need to let it go. What was wrong with it?
It was just I think it was just doing it for so long, just playing so many shows, and there was good ones. There were some good ones, but mostly bad ones that were kind of a waste of time. That's my experience, and it's not an excuse. It's just what is, and so there's some kind of block in me going forward with the live shows. Like I'm attributing everything to like you have to market yourself online and get people to come out from online.
But look at all the success that you're having with doing that. Imagine if you added shows to that, you'd be able to get way better shows now because you have this thing online. You can go now to get shows and be like, yeah, I have fucking 20,000 plays on this thing.
Yeah,
I'm not playing on Monday night at 7:30 at Swan Dive opening for.
Yeah.
Joe Blow and
yeah, that's true.
Joe Blee. I can't even think of a name. But you know what I mean. Like, I mean, at this point, you're firing, like, fire on all cylinders. Don't always be like one, just doing half of one. Yeah. You know what I mean?
That's
like,
so
capitalize on the whole thing is when this thing's taken off, you're getting plays. Go for it, man.
I've heard that advice enough times to where I'm like, I know that there must be something.
There must be some kind of truth.
Yeah, there's truth in it because I do that. There's like, you need to not like be so paint yourself in a corner, do one thing. You got to balance like a UFC fighter trains this part and this aspect and this aspect.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I'm not telling you how to live. I'm just saying Demi, the daredevil,
valid.
Deserves to be all the way, baby. And well, I mean, I love this record. I think, you know, you really, and that video is like off the charts, man. That is like, it's top-notch video, man. Top-notch record.
Cool. Thank you. Very much appreciate it.
Yeah, great shirts, too, by the way. Didn't bring me one of those, did you?
I did it.
And you
I even thought that I
was... Guys, all of you guys in Instagram land, and also podcast land, Jeff did not want to grease my palms.
It's funny because like I've been
offered you free stickers.
I have a little questions that I asked myself today from some little planner, and it's like, what can you do for somebody today, like a note or a sign of appreciation? I'm like, Johnny, I'm gonna bring him something, and like I'm an inconsiderate person naturally, like everybody is as humans. But I'm just gonna come by at a later date, knock on your door. Maybe bother you while you're sleeping, and then, or I'll just leave it on your porch at a later date. Do you like this one?
I do like that one, yeah.
What do you wear, medium?
Yeah.
Okay.
I used to be a small Jeff, and then over the last few years, as I got older, metabolism slows down.
Uh-huh.
And then I was at the Gap one day, and I was putting on this shirt, and I was like, this is a pretty cool shirt. So this girl walks by, she works there, I'm like, hey, man, you like this shirt? Look good? She's like, what size is that? And I was like, it's a small. And she goes, you really need a medium. And like, I ran out of there sad, like a teenage girl that was called fat by a Gap girl. Anyway, not having a blast video, fantastic. Do you have any plans to do other videos?
So the second one, my wife directed one that just released on Friday for the last song on the EP, and it's a ballad song, and it's just like a multiple exposure look where I'm just talking to the camera the whole time with effects.
And your wife did that?
And she did that.
What is she? She a director?
She wanted to do this one, yeah. And she was a photography major, so she was into the multiple exposure thing. And she just was. She's good at visualizing things to sound. Like she, before she goes to bed, like she when she was little, she was just like, she always had trouble sleeping because she was picturing all these crazy geometric visuals. And she's good at that. So she did a good job.
How long have you been married, man?
1 year.
So you weren't married last time you were on here.
No. Yeah, I think I probably had just started dating Madeline then.
How's that working out?
Great.
Yeah?
We're two peas in a pod. Oh, we're two peas artists? In a pod.
You're both artists?
Yeah.
Have artistic souls?
Yes, definitely. She's a counselor. She's a counselor as her job.
It works out great, doesn't it?
It does. It works out great. And at the same time, if she's dealing with that all day, when she comes home, she's like, you need to go to a counselor.
I know you're my husband, but man, no freebies today.
Yeah, no freebies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. She's super. Her gift is like she's like really receptive, and she can kind of guide people to like, it sounds like you're saying this. Let me condense that for you, and then I'm going to guide you this direction. So that's great. And, you know, but sometimes I could tell she's like, I don't care. I don't care. Please just do what you do. Yeah. You're just running around in circles.
Yeah.
But she's helped me a lot. Yeah.
Good, man.
Yeah.
That's good. Where do you guys live in a house or an apartment? Do you mow the lawn?
Yeah, she mows the lawn.
Okay.
Yeah, we got a place, and she wants to do that, like the yard stuff. So.
Wow.
Yeah, that's, I know.
Pretty lucky.
It's rare. Like, I do the cooking.
So. Are you a cooking person? Yeah. You have a culinary feel?
Yeah, I'm not the best, but I'll just take whatever's that we have and try to mix it up.
Oh, do you watch Chopped?
No.
Oh. That's a show where it's like a competition show like that. They're like, you have this, this, and this, and you got to make something out of
it. Okay, yeah. Very interested.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I do that to myself sometimes. Yeah.
It's like,
well,
we try to eat healthy. That's my biggest thing. Right. I'm like, yeah, get the veggies down if we can, get the fruits.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Those veggies and fruits, man.
Yeah.
I do like to cook. I just have been, I live by myself. I have a girlfriend now, but she lives in Houston. But like, I do love to cook, but it's kind of hard to go like cook for yourself, like a whole cook, like really, like,
yeah.
Oh, I made some badass, you know, whatever last night for myself, you know?
Yeah.
But I do like to cook.
How often do you see her?
So far, she lives in Houston, and I play in Houston a lot.
Works.
And so, yeah, I see her almost every week.
Is there a chance you're going to live in the same city? I mean, I'm assuming
there is
a chance.
There yet, but yeah, not there. Yeah, yeah. Maybe different cities works out.
At this point,
same city hasn't worked out for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Everybody's different. I tried to marry. That didn't work out. Had different girlfriends. They didn't work out. Had the living with you girlfriend. Didn't work out. Not live with you girlfriend. Didn't work out.
Okay.
I'm thinking different city.
Different city.
Seems like
at least starting off, like you're, yeah, just like start
maybe that
slow
is the right way to go. See. Maybe you get when you spend time together, you really spend that time together, quality. You're not like half there all the time. You're totally there some of the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Could that be good for me? Everybody's different. You know what I mean?
That could be good if you need space as a person, and especially the beginning to like test the waters.
Yeah, test the waters, baby. Is there anything I'm missing? People can find this record wherever it is that you stream and download.
Yep.
The music, DemiTheDaredevil.com.
Mm-hmm.
You have not yet rescheduled the show, have you?
No, okay. I haven't rescheduled it, so...
People can go there and look for the shows. I didn't see any shows on there.
Yeah. There might be one at Electric Church December 10th.
How are you liking that place? Do you go there?
I've been there one time to see the band, the Migrant Kids, and...
Migrant Kids. Oh, yeah.
Remember, they're part of Artist Development.
Sorry. There's so many bands. Sometimes it just rains names. I'm like, Migrant Kids. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
They've also been on the show, I think, like 5 times.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So you just keep inviting them on. I haven't... Sorry. Let's not make this about me.
Are you saying... Well, no, it is about you. I've made it actually a lot about me, and you did some nice listening when I was telling you I'd never been a big seller.
Oh, yeah. No, that's...
Here's, I've never sold a million records, but I got a million hits. My friend David wrote that in a song.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and I like that.
Yeah. Migrant Kids. So you saw Electric Church?
Electric Church. Yeah. There might be a show there for a birthday party. And I hope that the sound is good. It seems like it's very DIY. I just need there to be subs. That's the big
I heard from
dilemma.
Somebody that played there this last weekend. I was like, how is it? And they're like, it's good. They're like, I mean, they just have the microphone going through the PA, like one microphone.
Okay. And the PA, if it's one of those ones that's just PA on pillars, no low end, it's...
I don't know.
That's the kind of shows that are, yeah, I can't do those anymore, but we'll figure it out. I have a sub that I can...
You can bring out?
I can bring out, but it's not huge, but I think it could do the job.
Well, your record is fantastic, man. Everybody get out there, check it out. Magic and Accidents. Magic plus Accidents? How do you say it?
Yeah, Magic and Accidents.
Okay, Magic and Accidents.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything I'm missing?
No,
hey,
that's
Instagram.
It. Hey, you guys, check out Johnny Gowdy.
Yeah, Johnny Gowdy.
Okay.
How did I get here?
Yeah, Johnny Gowdy. How did I get here?
You can find me on Spotify.
Yeah, find him on Spotify.
How did I get here?
This is episode number 832.
No. I don't know what episode it's going to be.
Okay. Sorry. I misspoke. I didn't know that was important to get it exactly right.
Episode 852 is out now.
Okay. But you had a few yesterday.
851 is tomorrow? I don't know, man. 850 something.
It's 850 something. Can you imagine this is an example of someone who sticks with something for a long time. Everyone says for
except
constant...
Except the relationships.
Well, if it's not working out, it's not working out. You have to...
I know.
Jump
I've been in that. I've been in that Skyrocket band since 2002. So that's a long time.
That's great. Yeah.
I've been in this apartment since 2011. That's a long time.
So it's like with bandmates. I've hadn't been able to stick with anybody for a long. And so, but you're it worked out for you with bandmate. It's different problems.
Yeah, I mean, I still play with Einar. He'd been playing with me since '94, so 25 years of Einar.
Crazy. I noticed that I could tell you guys had a close relationship when you were the moderator.
Yeah.
And you were just he was talking, and you were like, yeah, like you were trying to hush him up, but it was very, it was like you didn't, you knew him well enough just to be very like,
like stop.
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah. I mean, it's funny. I have a very, I have a strong connection with that dude, but anyway, I have a strong connection with you, Jeff. I love the music. Love Demi the Daredevil.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for doing the Instagram live. That just made me think, you know, maybe I should start doing that.
Yeah, add in the video component like Joe Rogan. I don't know. That's worked.
I only listen to Joe Rogan.
Oh, yeah.
I don't watch it.
I think someone said he uses that as another selling point, but I only listen to
it. Yeah.
I don't know how many people just watch and they want to see their faces, but yeah.
We'll see, man. Maybe we'll do it. Thanks for doing the show. People get out there. Check out the record Magic and Accidents. Available now, the EP.
Yeah.
And it's also on a physical thing. You can go to DemiTheDaredevil.com for all of your Demi the Daredevil needs. And look for a release show coming up soon and maybe a show at, what's that place?
Electric Church, December 10th.
I need a nap.
98%. Oh, thank you for still seeing me. Good seeing you.
Good seeing you. Thank you so much for being on the show, buddy.
Thanks.
All right, gang, that's Jeff Azar from Demi the Daredevil. Their new album, Magic and Accidents, an EP. It's out now. You can go to DemiTheDaredevil.com for all of your Demi the Daredevil needs and check out the video for Not Having a Blast. It is really good. I do want to thank Jeff for coming by. Great talking to him. Always great talking to him. He's a really talented guy. Amazing, amazing songwriter, amazing artist. Get out there and check out their first album, Secret Schizoid, as well as their newest EP, Magic and Accidents. Go to DemiTheDaredevil.com. Thank you for listening to the show, gang. Let's hear some more music. Not Having a Blast from my pal, Jeff Azar, and his band, Demi the Daredevil. Let's get down. Not
sent to myself yesterday went missing, cause my short-term memory is short-circuiting.